Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Ty.
I mean, it's definitely the holiday season if you go to Costco. I mean, they flew by Halloween, like, in September.
Well, don't they put out, like, the massive, larger-than-life skeletons in June for you to buy at Costco?
Well, that does frighten my daughters and me, as a matter of fact, when you walk through just looking for protein shakes. But now they're onto Christmas, full-fledged.
I thought you weren't going to Costco. I thought you were doing the Amazon thing.
Well, I've been ordering a little bit of stuff off the Amazon thing because, well,
it gets addicting.
Easy, convenient, and you don't have to buy 25 pounds of it.
That's true. So I try to stay away from Amazon because it's just so easy.
Too easy. Too easy? Too easy. Yeah. 1210 here on WTMJ.
It's now at noon on Wisconsin's Midday News.
The demolition is done. Northridge Mall in Milwaukee is finally gone. City leaders gathered at the site today to celebrate the completion of the demolition. This is a milestone in the city's ongoing efforts to transform Granville Station. Northridge Mall, think about this. It closed back in 2002. It's been a long time. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson today talking about the years since then up until today.
For the vast majority of that time, it's been a blight. It's been a danger. You know, people have died there, fires set in there. I mean, you all know the stories. But to finally get to the point where that structure is taken down and we've got a new foundation on which to build to move this community forward, it's very fulfilling to me after having worked on this issue for so many years.
Now that the site is clear, future redevelopment can begin, and I bet a bunch of you are thinking, okay, what are they going to put on that land, right? Well, there is no plan yet for what might be built on the land next. Mayor Johnson says the city wants to listen and learn from community members and builders right now. They basically want to figure out what would be successful on that land and add vibrancy to the northwest side of the city.
Number two, Jamaica recovering after getting slammed by Hurricane Melissa. The storm barreling through the western part of the island, rain falling throughout the island. It's a Category 5 storm. Officials saying currently about 77% of the island is without power. Dr. Dana Morris-Dixon, Jamaica's education minister, telling reporters the Jamaican government has issued an all clear so that rescue crews can start building.
Our goal is to bring back up Kingston. Kingston has a million citizens, and so it is important that we get Kingston back up. It was not badly damaged, and we are grateful to God for that. And where there has not been much damage, we will bring those areas back.
It's still a massive tourist destination, right? So the fact that there is a limited damage appears to be a sign of good things. There was some damage, though. Schools, hospitals, there's plenty to recoup and recover and rebuild. Currently, Melissa, an extremely dangerous Category 3 hurricane as it closes in on Cuba, according to the National Hurricane Center.
The Federal Reserve is expected to cut interest rates later today. ABC's Alexis Christophorus explains how a rate cut will impact everyday Americans like you and me.
One interest rate cut now won't make a big change, but over the course of months, it could really start to impact consumers. So what we could see is borrowing costs will go down a little bit for consumers and also for businesses. So you're looking at things like mortgage rates, which, by the way, are now at their lowest level in about a year.
Okay, so looking at the clock here, the Fed decision comes out at 1 o'clock today. The CEO of Annex Wealth Management will join us at 1:45 to discuss the decision. We'll also chat about the current state of the markets.
12:13 on WTMJ. The practice week begins today in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur just wrapping up his Wednesday news conference. Jason Wilde was there. He joins us after this on WTMJ. Now at noon, sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Check him out online at flanners.com. Sound advice at the best price for Flanners. Just press play.
It's time to gear up for your football fix on Wisconsin's Midday News with Greg Matzik and Jessica Ty.
It was a storyline that was played up, and the game itself lived up, I think, to its hype. That was a very entertaining football game in which the Packers found their way to win.
I loved it. Rodgers downplayed the significance of playing his old team. He said this was not a revenge game. He said he loves the Packers. He feels like he grew up with the team. He plans to eventually retire in green and gold.
Powered by Flanners Home Entertainment. Just press play.
Heads Carolina, tails California, somewhere greener.
And our Wednesday football fix sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Check them out at flanners.com. Sound advice at the best price. It's just press play for Flanners. We welcome in Jason Wilde, just finishing up with Matt LaFleur's Wednesday news conference. Joining us from Green Bay, Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin, and outstanding work at channel3000.com. Afternoon, Wilde.
Hello. Before we get to football, I have a question. Did I do the right thing when it comes to a Halloween costume that's not for me? Can you guys help me out?
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Fire
Love
away.
It.
All right. So Paula is a fantastic gymnastics coach. I have never been coached in that pursuit by her, but the many, many athletes and parents have given her that review, so that's not my biased opinion. But tonight at practice, all the coaches are going to coach in costumes. And we had Sydney's choir concert last night, so she asked me to run to some of the local thrift stores and find her a costume, which feels like a lot of pressure.
It does.
Because not only do you have to find something that she's going to like, but also you got to be able to coach in it. So it's got to have some, you know, she can't dress up like Elmo like I used to do.
You need to be able to move.
Yeah, exactly. So what I ended up with is kind of this long flowing black, witch. It's not really a dress, but it's, I guess it is technically.
Flowy. I don't know. Already I'm kind of like, I'm questioning.
Well, I figure she's got to be able to move. It's not like super wide. She's not like going to prom or something or an old, like Southern Belle type event. But I was surprised. She thought it was a good choice, but I'm curious, was I put in a bad spot there? Because I feel like, you know, the other coaches got like those kind of onesie pajamas, like ones, she's not really dressed as Wonder Woman if you're just wearing a onesie that has the Wonder Woman logo on it, right? You're not dressed as any, you're just wearing pajamas. So I didn't want to do that, and I'm very curious to see how tonight goes, because I'm in the laundry room looking at it going,
Is there a hat or a mask or any face paint involved with it? Like, how elaborate does the costume really need to get?
I did get her a hat as well to go with it. I don't think she'll be required to wear it throughout the entire practice, but I did not. I am not here to tell her that she also has to paint her face like Elphaba. But I don't know. I feel like I was put in a position to fail, and Lord knows I can fail on my own just fine. Thank you.
That is tough. I would have suggested two things. One, I would have gone for like just an 80s workout wonder, something where you can move and you can do your thing and it takes you back a little bit.
Yeah, Olivia Newton-John kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. Or two, I would have gone straight to the workers there and said, do you have any suggestions? Because oftentimes people go there and year after year, they know like, okay, I saw this and I could put a great costume together, and I would have leaned on them for the suggestions.
Well, I would like to, in my defense, also add, much like with this segment, I was on a time crunch. I had to get to the concert, too, and I had to pick up flowers for the soprano that we were watching.
So sweet.
I think I survived, but the real test will be tonight. All right. Sorry to distract us.
To the Packers.
I was going to say, to answer the real question here, were you put in a bad spot? To me, as a father of two young girls, I think you were put in a position of trust. I trust you to
Good
make the
answer.
Right decision.
Yeah,
I know
that.
You're going to come through for me, and you did. And to me, that is rewarding, because trust and love from our family, Jason, that there's no better power than that.
Oh, you can't put a price on that. Yeah, I can put a price on the $9.99 witch costume, though, that's for sure.
Well, there we go. All right, dressing up as Quay Walker recently is Quay Walker, number 7, for the green and gold. You know, this guy comes out of college and I watched him play in college, and I thought he was just a different sort of athlete, and he played at Georgia, really a hotbed for talent coming out of college into the NFL. Mm-hmm. He kind of ran hot his first couple years in Green Bay, Jason, right? I remember him getting kicked out of games for yelling at anybody that would come within earshot of him, and that included people who weren't even playing in the game. And then he has this sort of grown-up, mature moment on the field in Pittsburgh. Sunday night football, emotions running high, the eyes of the world are watching, and a guy for the Steelers literally sticks his hand through Quay's face mask, right? And then he gets the personal foul, and Quay does nothing. a guy who was barking at anybody from the sideline from the other team the first couple of years in his playing career, showed an immense sign of growth during that situation on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I can't sum it up any better, Greg. Like, what I thought was amazing about that was DK Metcalf, like, pokes him in the eye. And yet he just took it. And you're right. Not only is this someone who got ejected from two games, but the two people that he, you know, tussled with, if you will, one was a practice squad tight end for the Bills who wasn't playing in the game. He was in street clothes on the sideline. And he got into it with that guy, got himself ejected. And then the other time was in the finale. Rodgers' last game as a Packer, he gets kicked out because he's checking on DeAndre Swift, the running back for the Lions at the time, his teammate at Georgia. And then the team physician comes out to try and help his fallen former teammate, and Quay Walker shoves the doctor. Like, who does that? And I'll be honest, like, I did not, after those two games, because he's not someone who talks to the media very often either. That's not his comfort zone. I didn't like Quay Walker. I'll flat out tell you that. Like, I didn't really know him at all. He was very truculent with the media. And then the last couple of years, I've gotten to know him, and what he did in those games is so incongruous with the kind of guy he actually is. Like, he's incredibly self-critical. I would go so far as to use the phrase self-loathing, that he was so hard on himself that, quite frankly, I think it impacted his play in a negative way. And so he's really – the Packers have a team psychologist. His name is Dr. Chris Carr, and he's a phenomenal guy. And he's really good at what he does. He's done this with the Olympic teams. He knows his stuff. And he has really unlocked something in Quay. He's done a lot of meditation. He meets with Dr. Carr regularly. And I thought you saw the fruits of his willingness. Because, look, let's be honest. Some football players are like, hey, that's how I play, right? I'm going to go to the edge, and I'm going to go over it. And he actually took that, and he talked about this after the game. He felt so bad after he got ejected from that last Rodgers game when they had to win the game to make the playoffs and they lost, that he really did turn over a new leaf and did the work to do it. And what you saw on Sunday night, and that was a huge penalty too. The next play is supposed to be 3rd and 2. And they're only down, the Steelers are only down 10. Rodgers has rallied from much worse situations than that. But that penalty makes it 3rd and 17. Rodgers gets sacked by Rashawn Gary the next play. The Steelers punt, and the Packers go and score again. Like, that was a huge moment in the game. You could not be more right about that, Greg.
It was such a huge game. So fun to watch. An explosive second half. The Packers beating the Steelers 35-25. And wow, Jordan Love, do you feel like that game, for anybody who had any doubts about, is he our guy for the long haul? Is he the next Brett Favre in a way? Is he the next Aaron Rodgers in a way? Do you think that game showed he is indeed the successor?
Well, he certainly showed it to his teammates, which is the most important thing, right? I mean, it's not that they didn't believe in him before that, but I think that belief deepened with the fact that he played as well as he did with Rodgers on the other sideline and on the other team. Now, that said, you know, I'm always going to be the journalist guy that puts a damper on things. I think he is clearly the guy for this team and will be for a long time going forward. They clearly believe in him. But what, you know, remember, I covered most of Favre's career and all of Rodgers' career. What those guys is special. And I don't think it's a harsh critique to suggest that Jordan Love may not be as good as Football Hall of Famers, right? There's a lot of guys that have had success in the NFL that weren't quite that good. And so is it possible that he will be 15 years from now, we're talking about him as a future Hall of Famer too? Sure, that's definitely possible. But all I know is that his teammates were talking about, I thought Tucker Kraft was great, saying, look, I didn't know Aaron Rodgers. First time I met him was at the captain's meeting before the game. But I would say that after this, you can say Jordan Love has held up his end of the bargain in that Favre-Rodgers-Love lineage. And I thought that was a pretty big statement from a pretty important player on the team.
No doubt. I love his demeanor, too. You never know if they're winning or losing, if he threw a pick or a touchdown. He's pretty even keel. You love that in a quarterback. Jason, happy Halloween. Please report back on how the costume goes. We'll talk again next week. We'd like a full update and if you succeeded in your mission.
Well, I'm now worried. I've turned my attention now to my costume. We're going to the Badgers volleyball game on Friday night in Madison, and I am going to go as Ted Lasso. I have to find a good mustache. maybe I could borrow Corey Lindsley's, but yes, I'll be. Now I'm focused on me. I've done my part. If it fails at gymnastics practice, I'm washing my hands of it. All right, guys,
send
take care.
Picks,
be good.
Please.
Yep, you do the same. Jason Wilde joins us each and every week here, and his appearance, our football fix, sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Check him out, flanners.com. Sound advice at the best price. Just press play. All right, Jessica is singing in the studio here, which leads me to believe that our CBS congressional correspondent, Scott McFarlane,
knows
exactly the song that Gina picked for him today. Scott, what do we have here?
This guy's in concert in Washington, D.C. Friday. We're all well acquainted with John B., and that's from 1998. That's his biggest hit called They Don't Know.
Are you going to the concert?
Yeah.
I got to get a hall pass to go to the concert, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
That takes negotiation on the home front. We're working on it.
So I want to go back to my text messages here, because at 9:54 on Sunday evening, I texted Scott McFarlane. And it was we were watching the Packer game. I'm sure Scott was as well. And Tucker Kraft had just scored his second touchdown. And big capital letters here with a lot of F's and a lot of T's and a lot of exclamation points. I just said, Kraft!
Oh, my goodness.
At 9:54, the final text message I sent on Sunday before going to bed, and Scott responded with a heart emoji.
Oh, it's been glorious. It's really been glorious. They're just a fun team to watch. Having a gaming investment in Tucker Kraft is wonderful at this moment, so thanks for that, Greg. But they're just fun to watch. And the thing is, you don't really know how they're going to get you each game. And I think that's one of the exciting parts of watching the Packers this year, is they're so balanced. There's so many different weapons. It's just a whole different dynamic.
It has been a blast, and man, that game on Sunday was just awesome to watch. We loved love, without a doubt. Scott, we've got you on here. You are in the heart and on top of everything in D.C. Here we are now. We're in day 29 of the government shutdown. Funding freezes and program cuts are being used as leverage, and the American people, families, are really starting to feel this now. They're paying the price. You use the term dereliction of duty to describe how Congress and the White House are handling this shutdown. What signs are you seeing that agencies are already impaired because of the funding gap?
It's not just that people in the federal government are getting slammed, though they are. We talked about it. They have been for a month now. I mean, they truly are, because they're furloughed and not getting paid, going to food pantries. They are having to borrow from family to pay the mortgage, pay the rent. That's been going on for a month, and there's been a lack of proper urgency to that dynamic from everybody involved. But now you have another pain pressure point coming Saturday, one that we haven't seen, at least in recent times, where they cut off SNAP funding and SNAP availability for everybody who needs food assistance, nutritional assistance. And the pain there is far and wide. That's not a red or a blue issue. That is an everybody's in the same boat issue in parts of our country. Anybody who needs food assistance gets it cut off. Doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what state you're in, something with SNAP's in jeopardy. And if you think there's been some change in dialogue or urgency being shown by Congress, you're kidding yourself. It's the same nonsense you've been listening to for a month.
Is the White House massaging its message at all? Any evolution in what they're saying as this drags on, Scott?
I haven't seen an evolution in what any of the players involved are saying. I haven't seen a change. I haven't seen a subtle shift. I haven't seen a dramatic shift. Nothing has changed the rhetoric. If there's conversation happening, if it's happening behind the scenes, it's really behind the scenes. It's like so far behind the scenes, you can't see it with an X-ray. Because these negotiations, if they're happening, are happening in such a clandestine, unspoken way, they're not likely to yield fruit until something changes, until there's some progress. Maybe this pain point of Saturday, of SNAP getting cut off, is the trigger finally. It's the we've gone too far moment that'll incentivize conversations, but I'm seeing no sign of that yet.
Scott, since we talked to you last, we learned that FEMA has denied the state of Wisconsin's request for public assistance after our historic flooding in August. Agency concluded basically that the state's request for public assistance did not meet the threshold for approval. You have Governor Tony Evers, who is a Democrat, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, who is a Democrat, Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley, who is a Democrat. Some people are saying maybe it's because Wisconsin has so many Democrats in charge that the Trump administration has denied that. Is there anything to that?
That accusation has been made in other places by other people. You know, there was a similar, very symmetrical storm to what we saw in that flood in western Maryland near the West Virginia border earlier this year, which saw almost a similar amount of damage of tens of millions of dollars in disaster recovery. That request was rejected, and the Democratic governor of Maryland says it's because we're a blue state. The Trump administration would push back on that criticism. But here you are in what is obviously a state that supported President Trump in 2024, with the governor saying that this is $26 million in public infrastructure damage in Wisconsin from this one flooding event. If this doesn't merit federal assistance, it's hard to see what does. I think you're going to hear the political argument. I can just tell you the Trump administration in similar situations elsewhere in the country has pushed back on this. But the county executive, governor, been pretty declarative and unequivocal in their criticism of this.
County Executive Josh Shulman of Washington County, he is a Republican. Paul Farrow is the county executive in Waukesha County, another Republican in Paul Farrow. In fact, he was the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin for a couple of years between August of 21 and December of 2022. So there is Republican blood sort of at the local leader level. I do wonder about the appeal process here too, Scott. I'm not sure how much it's on your radar about how many of these appeal processes actually work, and all of a sudden the funding is opened up. Yes, I'm sorry, we missed something. Thank you for your appeal. Here is the money that your community so deservedly need.
Well, there's no agency in government that's more acquainted with the appeal process possibly than FEMA. I mean, they get this from individuals who seek disaster assistance, from small businesses that seek disaster assistance, and from states and communities. I don't think this is the last we've heard of this argument, but this is not an easy thing for a state or a community to absorb into their own budgets. You can't just go into the state coffers and just find $26 million laying around. Certainly can't do that at the county level or the municipal level. This is a burden and a problem that needs some type of solution. So I expect there to be some pushback. Just unclear to me, Greg, if that pushback works in this administration.
Yeah, and Governor Evers did say he is in the midst of appealing that right now. He also said he hopes it was a mistake. And I was kind of surprised to hear him say that because I thought, I don't think it's a mistake, but we'll see.
It's a fair point. It depends what you think of the word mistake. Mistaken that it was an absolute error, somebody missed carrying the one on the math equation, or a mistake politically or optically or in terms of values. I think you could argue that either way, but it's a problem. That much we can say for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. Scott, the January 6th attack continues to come up in multiple ways, with criminal prosecutions, congressional investigations, policy making around election integrity and security. Are you seeing any patterns here?
Yeah, we've had any number of people who had their fingerprints on the January 6th investigation, which you'll recall was the largest criminal investigation in American history. A number of those people have been fired or been pushed out of their jobs. They would argue it's retribution, and I haven't gotten a very strong pushback on that accusation from the Trump administration. They acknowledge that they are seeking to hold accountable people who prosecuted January 6th, for whatever that's worth. Just today, at around 8 a.m. Central, a pair of prosecutors who are handling a former January 6th rioter, in his case, they've just been put on leave. What happened there? Well, this former January 6th rioter was charged in a new case, a new crime a couple years ago, allegedly menacing outside the D.C. home of former President Obama. He actually was convicted at trial of that in May. Tomorrow is sentencing for that man. His name is Taylor Toronto, and the prosecutors handling the case for the Justice Department put in their memo to the court last night that Taylor Toronto not only menaced President Obama in June, but that he was part of the riot on January 6th with rioters who destroyed the Capitol, and that he had been unspooling conspiracy theories about January 6th ever since. Hours after that memo was filed, referencing the January 6th riot, its destruction, and the conspiracy theories that still surround it, those prosecutors were put on leave. And I think that's going to open up a whole Pandora's box with people saying that the administration will not allow its own employees to acknowledge the truth about January 6th or lest they be fired. That's going to be a problem, at least a political problem for now.
Always plugged in with the latest information from the nation's capital. CBS congressional correspondent Tucker Kraft is on his fantasy team. It's Scott McFarland. Scott, we appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Scott.
I'll send you photos from the concert on Friday.
Yes, please do. If you need us to write you a note.
Get that hall pass.
We can do that. We can write you a note. We'll send it over. We'll fax it to you. How's that? We'll get the congressional fax machine going.
Perfect.
Appreciate it, Scott. Take care. 1249 here on WTMJ. Pioneer of the Internet has been sold for a reported $1.5 billion. That's billion with a B for AOL. That's right. CBS technology contributor Ian Scheer with more on the company.
AOL recently shut down its dial-up internet division, but the company still offers a service for people who want that easier experience of using the internet. And that's not a small number of people, roughly 30 million by AOL's count.
All right, so the dial-up, that whole thing, yeah, that it's pressing the buttons, waiting for the connection. Do we have it? Do we have it?
Takes me back.
And now I can order pants from Boston store. Okay, great. We are connected.
Oh, see, I thought we were going to find out if we have mail after that.
Oh, no. Well, there is that.
You got mail.
So it was a thing that launched the internet. It really was. I mean, that was the thing, but it is so far obsolete. I was amazed to find that there are pockets of the country that still rely on AOL and dial-up, for that matter. Of course, the phone line, the dedicated phone line in your house is sort of going the way of the dodo bird. Not as popular as it once was, but $1.5 billion. So a company that is by no means bankrupt, but is certainly in many cases obsolete.
I was also interested in who bought AOL for $1.5 billion. And the company is Bending Spoons. I'd never heard of Bending Spoons before. So I was like Googling, what is Bending Spoons? Had you heard of Bending Spoons before? I think it's a fun game.
Right. Sounds like a fun game you'd play with some friends on a Friday night.
Well, remember as a kid, did you ever play Spoons?
A little
bit,
yeah.
Where you play the card game and then spoon, then you grab it and you put it on your... Oh, it was fun. Bending Spoons is an Italian tech company that acquires, revamps, and operates digital businesses and apps like Meetup. So now you know.
Okay. Well, AOL does have a parent company. It's Yahoo. And they announced earlier this year it would discontinue the dial-up internet service as the company shifts to more modern internet technologies. Took them 30 years to do that, but nonetheless, for the few users who do still rely on dial-up, losing internet service and access really because of that decision. However, it will not affect free AOL email accounts. We'll see if anything changes now that there's new ownership.
Just don't cancel my Yahoo email. Some people say that's embarrassing to have a Yahoo email. I still have mine, and I am kind of ready to give it up because I get so much junk these days that I'm like, honestly, I don't even pay attention to it anymore because there's just so much junk filtering in. But some people say it's kind of, you know, first it was Hotmail. Oh, gosh, you got a Hotmail. Kind of people give you a snicker. Now people do that for Yahoo.
I still have Hotmail for those keeping
that
score at home.
That is wild.
Yeah. I live on the edge.
You've got mail.